This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, June 10th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. With inflation at levels not seen in four decades, shopping can be a painful experience. But consumers seem to be willing to pay rising prices for the brands they like.
And what we found is that in some industries, there was a strong positive correlation between two variables. And that means when net profit margin goes up, customer satisfaction actually goes up.
On today's show, we're joined by Rick Wortsman, head of the K.H. Moon Center at the Drucker Institute. They studied this phenomenon, why some brands can raise prices without alienating their customers and others can't. We'll talk to him about the mindset of consumers in inflationary times. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.
With inflation at levels not seen since the 1980s, shoppers face tough choices when trying to stay within their budget. Do they stick with a brand they trust, regardless of price, or go with a cheaper alternative to save some money? And that presents a tricky question for companies. Do they pass along higher costs to consumers and bank on their loyalty, or hold prices steady, which could chip away at profits? Rick Wortsman heads the K.H. Moon Center at the Drucker Institute, which studied the tap dance between consumer spending power and manufacturers' pricing power. Rick, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, pleasure.
So, Rick, we often hear about the power the consumer has in fueling the economy, but what challenges do companies face in not angering them with higher prices?
Look, all companies want to cultivate in their customer base a kind of brand loyalty, but companies come at it in different ways, and what we found in our research is that some industries are better positioned than other industries to pass along price increases, generally speaking. It varies, of course, company to company within that industry, but generally speaking, some are relatively well positioned and some have to be warier about passing along price increases.
Okay, so where has your research shown that consumers are willing to pay higher prices?
Yeah, so what we did in our research is we looked at the correlation, so kind of a statistical relationship between companies across different industries, and the correlation was between their net profit margin, right? So how much, you know, profit they are earning as a percentage of their total sales, and their customer satisfaction. We measure customer satisfaction as part of our annual company rankings. And what we found is that in some industries, there was a strong positive correlation between those two variables. And that means when one goes up, net profit margin goes up, customer satisfaction actually goes up. What that suggests is that those are industries that, by and large, are reinvesting some of that profit back into their relationship with customers. They're innovating, they're providing better service, and so on. Where we see this positive correlation would be in industry like household and personal products.
Where in that industry have they shown brand allegiance?
Yeah, a great example is a company like Procter & Gamble. They have leading brands, right? People really want Tide, or they want Crest, or they want Pampers. They really have a lot of loyalty to those specific brands. And so far, from what P&G has said, although they are bracing for consumers to maybe rein in their spending and hunker down, so far they have been able to pass along price increases for those kinds of products without losing market share. This is, you know, a company we see in our rankings that has, they rank in the top 1% of the, you know, nearly 850 companies we rank across all industries. They rank in the top 1% in terms of customer satisfaction. And customers are willing to pay a bit more and swallow those price increases.
Now, your research also showed that consumers are willing to accept higher prices on products in areas like banking and cars and telecommunication services. What are those companies in those sectors doing right where consumers aren't turned away by higher prices?
You know, as prices go up, maybe before even this inflationary period hit, they are reinvesting their profits back into customer service, into innovation, new products and services that they can offer and build that brand loyalty. I found telecom particularly interesting because, you know, I often sort of in my mind, I was like, oh, they really compete on price. And, you know, we see ads on TV where, you know, some of it is very price-based depending on the company. I think T-Mobile has an ad out that I see all the time now where they're talking about, you know, you switch to us and you get money back and we lock in the price for you. But when I talk to some of our colleagues like at JD Power, a company that supplies some of the customer satisfaction data in our model, they were pointing out that, yes, there's often kind of a competition based on price among telecom companies, but they're increasingly also competing on customer service, offering 5G, offering better, you know, service at the end of the day, more hotspots and that kind of thing. And so, again, they do have a lot of correlation. They have a high correlation between net profit margin and customer satisfaction, which would tell us that by and large, they're in a better position to pass along those price increases.
So where have consumers shown they're not willing to pay higher prices?
The industries that we saw a negative correlation were in consumer durables and apparel, you know, food and staples retailing, right? This sort of makes sense. An interesting one was transportation. That's where the airlines fall. Now, we know that airlines have been raising prices like crazy, and they have been able to pass them along. There's a lot of pent-up demand post-COVID, but as people start to travel again, and airlines have been able to raise prices, and flying right now is pretty expensive. They're also eating a lot of higher fuel costs and so on, all of which is being passed on. So consumers are paying for that. What our data would tell us is that they need to be careful, right? For now, they may be able to take advantage of this post-pandemic, if you will, you know, demand surge. But this is an industry with this negative correlation between net profit margin and customer satisfaction. Unless they deliver high customer satisfaction, and right now there's been a lot of complaints at the same time prices are going up. Long lines at airports, long lines. I don't know if you've called an airline recently to try and change a flight or deal with a ticket. It's, you know, not very smooth. And so, you know, they need to be wary because there could be a backlash coming.
So what's the takeaway here? What lessons are companies likely to learn from consumers?
You know, I think the lesson is, look, companies in an inflationary environment can probably get away with a lot of price increases right now, but they need to be wary. Again, in certain industries in particular, there's a chance of alienating consumers over time. And so pricing is a tricky dance, right? It's partly how much market share do you have? How much pricing power do you have as a result of that? How are your competitors responding?
Okay. But even if people are willing to pay higher prices for, say, household products at the supermarket, their finances are being pulled in a lot of different directions. Could this sustained period of inflation eventually chip away at any existing brand loyalty?
I do think that in an environment where either it's just hard to find what you're looking for, as in the case of baby formula, there's just a shortage, or in a really high inflationary environment, if you do see a cheaper alternative, and particularly if, you know, your wallet is tight and you're trying to make ends meet, it is a time you would forego brand loyalty that you might have had, and you will jump to something new, and maybe you develop a new brand loyalty. This is a time, for instance, where in-house brands, right, generics and so on, may have an advantage and may be able to claim some market share as people do look for cheaper alternatives. So I've seen some suggestions that this may be a time where consumers find value in those in-house brands that the Walmarts and, you know, the Costcos and different supermarkets and so on have.
All right. That's the Drucker Institute's Rick Wortsman. Rick, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Coinbase Institutional, the first choice of sophisticated investors and institutions that want to invest in crypto assets. As the only publicly traded company with experience trading and custodying digital assets at scale, over 11,000 clients use Coinbase products like Prime and Exchange. Coinbase also recently announced that they're on the path to launching derivatives. Invest in the most trusted name in crypto. Learn more at coinbase.com/institutional.